From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. After years of promises by the Obama administration that there would be no American boots on the ground in Syria, as peace talks on Syria continued in Vienna Friday, the White House announced that, in fact, the U.S. is sending troops into Syria. This was White House spokesperson Josh Earnest as he made the announcement at his daily press conference Friday.
The president spoke today by telephone with Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi to discuss the political and security situation in Iraq and underscore the United States' enduring support for Iraq in its fight against ISIL. The president commended the recent progress that Iraqi forces have made against ISIL in Beji and welcomed the ongoing campaign to isolate ISIL in Ramadi, noting that the United States, in partnership with the Iraqi government, will intensify support for Iraqi security forces in these efforts. The president also voiced support for Prime Minister Abadi's leadership in his efforts to combat corruption and implement governance reforms, critical to promoting Iraq's political stability and economic prosperity. The two leaders noted their full support for the U.S.-led global coalition to counter ISIL, emphasizing that both the United States and Iraq are fully committed to partnering with the international community to degrade and ultimately destroy ISIL. They also reaffirmed their commitment to the strategic partnership between the United States and Iraq. This is part of the discussion that part of this discussion was some of the efforts that the United States will begin to undertake to intensify those elements of the U.S. strategy and our coalition strategy against ISIL that have yielded some progress. So I know there's been some reporting on this already today, and I anticipate that will be the subject of some discussion with all of you today. So, Kathleen, we can go ahead and get started on whatever topic you would like.
Well, I think we'll start there.
So okay.
The White House is saying fewer than 50 forces going to run. There's initial reaction calling this tinkering around the edges, a band-aid on a gaping wound. What exactly do you think 50 special forces can accomplish?
Well, I certainly wouldn't underestimate the capability and capacity of our U.S. Special Operations Forces to be an important force multiplier anywhere around the world they're deployed. And the president does expect that they can have an impact in intensifying our strategy for building the capacity of local forces inside of Syria to taking the fight on the ground to ISIL in their own country. That has been the core element of the military component of our strategy from the beginning, building the capacity of local forces on the ground. That was the essence of the call that that the president just completed with Prime Minister Abadi. The United States and our coalition partners have worked effectively with the central government of Iraq. They've got command and control of Iraqi security forces in that country, and because of training and advice and assistance that the United States and our coalition partners have been able to offer to those Iraqi security forces, we built up the capacity of Iraqi security forces to be more effective on the battlefield inside of Iraq. The situation in Syria is quite different. The United States and our coalition partners do not have a central government with whom we can partner. The Assad regime has lost legitimacy to lead that country for a variety of reasons. In fact, they've actually used the military of that country to attack innocent civilians. So what the United States and our coalition partners have been focused on doing is enhancing the capacity of moderate opposition forces on the ground inside of Syria. There are already a variety of ways that you already know about that the United States and our coalition partners have offered assistance to those forces. Some of those efforts have included carrying out military airstrikes in support of their operations on the ground. In some cases, those local fighting forces have been enhanced through decisions that the president has made to resupply them, offering them military equipment and ammunition that they have used to effectively make progress against ISIL. When it comes to northern Syria in particular, we have seen moderate opposition forces inside of Syria who have driven ISIL out of Kobani. You'll recall a few months ago that some of these opposition forces were under siege in Kobani. After being resupplied by the United States military, these forces didn't just drive ISIL out of Kobani. They drove them out of the broader region. And now there's a 500-mile-long border between Turkey and Syria. All but 90 kilometers of that border is now secure. We've also seen these opposition forces make progress in the direction of Raqqa. This is the self-declared capital of the Islamic State. There are now moderate opposition forces that are 45 kilometers outside of Raqqa. So there's been important progress that's been made in this area, and the decision that the president has made is to further intensify our support for those forces that have made that progress against ISIL. And all along we have indicated that the president is prepared to intensify those elements of our strategy that are showing promise. Obviously, our support for moderate opposition forces in northern Syria have made progress against ISIL. They've shown promise, and that progress would not have been possible without our support. We've also demonstrated a willingness to scale back our investment in those aspects of the strategy that have not yielded progress. There's a lot of discussion in this room a couple of weeks ago about the train and equip program that wasn't yielding the kind of results that we would like, and the president announced a significant change to that element of our strategy. So that was a long answer. But I just want to give you the full context of the of this latest decision that the president has made to intensify this element of our strategy that has already shown some promise.
And just to be clear, so you said you think that it will have an impact. Is that a significant impact? I mean, it doesn't sound like you're selling this as a game changer.
No, I think you are astute to make that observation. I think what the president has been quite clear that there is no military solution to the problems that are plaguing Iraq and Syria. There is a diplomatic one. The president has put in place a multifaceted strategy to degrade and ultimately destroy ISIL. And this military component of that strategy is an important part of the president's top priority, which is the safety and security of the American public. And because of this strategy, we have taken extremists off the battlefield inside of Syria, who are hoping to use a safe haven inside of Syria to attack the United States and our interests. So we know that we need a political transition inside of Syria in order to address the root causes, the root cause of so many of the problems that we've seen in Syria, and that those problems range from hundreds of thousands of Syrians who've lost their lives in the civil war in that country, millions of Syrians who have had to flee their homes to escape violence. Some of those Syrians have unfortunately died trying to flee their country. And it's a tragedy, both in terms of the human toll that it's had on the Syrian people. It's also significant in terms of the destabilizing impact it's had throughout the broader region. Countries like Turkey and Lebanon and Jordan are bearing a significant burden in trying to meet the basic humanitarian needs of hundreds of thousands, or if not millions, of Syrians who have sought refuge in each of their countries. So this is a significant problem, and we can take some military action to provide for the safety of people. But the root cause of all of these problems will only be addressed through the kind of political transition that the United States believes is long overdue. Julia.
Josh, I just wanted to flesh out some details here. We've heard that the president has authorized fewer than 50 special operations forces. How many exactly, if this has already been authorized, can you tell us the exact number of forces who will be going into northern Syria?
The less than 50 number is accurate. I cannot be more specific than that, primarily for reasons related to operational security. There are a number of details about this decision that I am not in a position to discuss in this public setting, primarily to ensure that that our special operators can do their work as safely as possible, acknowledging that this is a very dangerous region of the world.
Okay, and you mentioned the call between the president and Prime Minister Abadi, mm-hmm. talking about intensifying U.S. support in Iraq to fight the Islamic State there. Will that include, even in the future, more special operations forces? Is there any talk of sending, of intensifying that support through U.S. troops?
Well, there are, I don't have any announcements along those lines to make from here today, but we have already found that pairing some U.S. forces, including special operations personnel, with Iraqi security forces in a strictly trained, advise, and assist role has been effective in enhancing the capacity of those Iraqi security forces to make progress against ISIL. So I don't have anything to announce along those lines today, but I certainly wouldn't rule out that something like that could be a possibility if it continues to be an element of our strategy that shows some promise.
Is there a reason why the president is not publicly speaking about this move today? Is it because it's seen as a relatively small maneuver, a small impact as part of a larger strategy? But why aren't we hearing from him today?
Well, I think I'd answer that question in a couple of ways. The first is you've heard the president on many occasions discuss our strategy in Syria. And the fact is, our strategy in Syria hasn't changed. The core of our military strategy inside of Syria is to build up the capacity of local forces to take the fight to ISIL on the ground in their own country. There are a variety of ways that the United States and our coalition partners can offer our support to those local forces, whether it's resupplying them or conducting airstrikes in support of their operations on the ground. And the president did make a decision to intensify that support by offering a small number of U.S. Special Operations military personnel to offer them some advice and assistance on the ground as they take the fight to ISIL. So this is an intensification of a strategy that the president announced more than a year ago, and he's discussed it with all of you on many occasions, and I suspect he'll discuss it with all of you again in the future. Okay, Justin.
I wanted to see if you could maybe define what the difference between, or what the limits of advise and assist versus combat are.
Okay.
And I ask that for two reasons. One is, you know, the president has laid down the groundwork that we would not send combat troops into Syria. So I'm wondering why this doesn't qualify under that definition. And I'm also wondering if you could flesh out what exactly that they're doing so that we kind of have a marker to judge the president's words on.
On the last question, it's going to be hard for me to offer you many specifics about what precisely they're going to be doing, primarily because there's some operational security that needs to be protected. And there may be more details that the Department of Defense could offer you, but from here, I can't be more specific than to say that those special operation forces will be in Syria, and they will be offering some training, some advice, and some assistance to moderate opposition forces that are fighting ISIL in northern Syria right now. As it relates to their mission, this is an important thing for the American people to understand. These forces do not have a combat mission. In 2003, President Bush ordered a large-scale, long-term combat operation in Iraq. That is something that that Barack Obama, then a state senator from Illinois, spoke out against. He disagreed with that decision. And he didn't, at that point, believe that it would serve the interests of the country to try to impose a military solution inside of Iraq. And President Barack Obama has that same view. He does not believe that that military operation was in our best interests, and he does not believe that that's something that we should do again. So that is why our special operations personnel inside of Syria have a very different mission. It is not, that mission is to build the capacity of local forces so that they can be even more effective than they've already been in taking the fight to ISIL on the ground inside of Syria.
I guess I just want to look back on the question one more time, because the president didn't say that there wouldn't be a large-scale, long-term ground mission. He said that there would not be a ground operation in Syria. And so, a ground combat operation in Syria. And so I'm trying to figure out how can we measure that point. What are soldiers in combat doing that these train, advise, and assist soldiers aren't doing? Because it looks and smells and sounds like a combat mission. And soldiers are dying. The Pentagon has described some of these as combat.
Well, let me say that this, what I'm trying to do is to be as specific as possible with you about the specific responsibilities that these special operations personnel have. This is not in any way an attempt to diminish the risk that they will face or the bravery that they will need to summon to carry out these operations. This is a dangerous place on the globe. and they are at risk, and there's no denying that. And that is, you know, once again, a reason for us to remember the significant sacrifices that our men and women in the military make for our safety and security. And nobody is more keenly aware of that than the Commander-in-Chief. At the same time, the responsibilities that they have there are different. You know, first of all, I think if we were envisioning a combat operation, we probably would be contemplating more than 50 troops on the ground. But because the responsibility that they have is not to lead the charge to take a hill, but rather to offer advice and assistance to those local forces about the best way they can organize their efforts to take the fight to ISIL or to take the hill inside of Syria. That is the role that they will be playing. Again, it still means that they're in a dangerous situation. It still means that they will have all of the equipment that they need to protect themselves if necessary. I'm confident that the Department of Defense has contingency plans in place to try to make it as safe as possible for those forces to operate there. But again, I don't want to diminish the significance of the risk that they are taking in pursuit of this objective that the President's identified. Kristen.
Josh, thanks. I want to be very specific about what the President has said in terms of putting boots on the ground in Syria, and he actually didn't even use the term combat. He said on September 10th, 2013, quote, "I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria." So with this announcement today, isn't he effectively breaking that promise to the American people?
Kristen, in September of 2013, the President was receiving questions about what the United States was prepared to do, given our insistence that President Assad had to go, that he'd lost legitimacy to lead. And the President was making the point that he was not prepared to put boots on the ground to take down the Assad regime. Again, that is precisely the mistake that the previous administration made in implementing a regime change policy against U.S. forces in a large-scale, long-term ground combat operation to try to take down Saddam Hussein. That did not serve the interests of the United States, and in some ways we're still paying the price for that mistake. So what the quote that you pulled there is a very different situation.
But he said definitively he was not going to put boots on the ground. We've heard him reiterate that same idea multiple times, that he wouldn't put boots on the ground in Syria.
Well, again, you've read one quote from that, to be fair, is out of context. The situation that the President has described is a description of the kind of mission that our men and women in uniform will have in our counter-ISIL campaign.
But he's consistently said he's not going to put boots on the ground, Josh. You don't deny that. He's consistently said that.
Well,
that would not be a part of this strategy.
Well, again, Kristen, the only quote that you've read to me is a quote from 2013 that was a direct question related to what we were prepared to do to ensure that our concerns about the Assad regime and the need for regime change were implemented. And the fact is, the President said, we're not going to implement a military strategy to take down Bashar al-Assad. What we want to do is we want to build the capacity of local forces to make sure that they can be focused on ISIL. And that's the strategy that the President's been focused on here. And when the President has talked about combat situations, the President has been quite clear that he does not contemplate a large-scale, long-term ground combat operation, either in Iraq or in Syria. That was his policy at the beginning of our counter-ISIL operations, and it's our strategy today.
You have acknowledged that these forces, these less than 50 forces, could be in dangerous situations, could wind up in combat roles. So given that, how is that not a change in strategy?
Because our strategy all along has been focused on building the capacity of local forces to fight these fights against ISIL for themselves in their own country. And our efforts to resupply them, to re-equip them, to conduct airstrikes in advance of their ground operations and in coordination with their ground operations have improved their performance on the battlefield. That element of our strategy to build their capacity has yielded progress. And so the President wants to intensify that assistance that we're providing. And one way you can intensify that assistance is to pair them up with experts, with some of the smartest, bravest, most effective fighters in the United States military, and that's exactly what we're doing. And I do expect that that will improve their performance on the battlefield.
These U.S. forces could be in combat roles; their lives could be at risk. Correct?
Well, they will not be in a combat mission. Their mission is
that's not their mission, but they could find themselves in a combat situation, just as we saw with the rescue mission.
There is no denying the amount of risk that they are taking on here, and they will be equipped to defend themselves if necessary. I'm confident that the Department of Defense has contingency plans to try to make them as safe as possible in a very dangerous part of the world, and it is a good reminder of the appreciation that we need to have for our men and women in uniform.
I want to ask you one more question, Josh. Does the President have the authority to put U.S. forces in Syria? Senator Angus King said earlier today the war is not authorized, making the point that the AUMF still has yet to pass through Congress. Do you need to redouble your efforts to try to get that passed through Congress?
Well, that's a great question, Kristen, and here's the answer to it. The answer simply is that Congress in 2001 did give the executive branch authorization to take this action, and there's no debating that. What the President has said he would welcome is Congress passing an authorization to use military force to be more specific about what exactly they're authorizing. So it's not just that the President would welcome Congress taking that step. The administration actually wrote the bill for him. We wrote our own piece of legislation that Congress could pass that would give the administration more specific authority to carry out our counter-ISIL campaign. But we didn't stop there. The President of the United States sent some of his top foreign policy advisors, national security advisors, to Congress to testify under oath in open hearings to explain to Congress what was included in the legislation and why they should pass it. And after all those efforts, the President saying he would welcome Congress's voice in this debate, saying that the administration, having the administration actually write the legislation to send it up to Congress so that Congress could pass it, sending the Secretary of State, his Secretary of Defense, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to testify before Congress about why they should pass this legislation. What's Congress done? Nothing. So I don't know when Congress is going to meet again. I know they often take Fridays off and they often take Mondays off. So maybe on Tuesday they can have a meeting and a discussion about what should be on their agenda. And I've got an idea up of it. Right. Jim.
Is this 50, fewer than 50 and no more?
The decision that the President has made to add these special operations forces to build up the capacity of local fighters in Syria will involve fewer than 50 special operations personnel.
And there won't be any other escalations beyond that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that what the decision that the President has made is to send fewer than 50 special operations forces to Syria to offer some training, advice, and assistance to local forces that are operating on the ground there against ISIL.
So it's possible that there could be further deployments.
Well, Jim, I don't want to try to predict the future here. I think we've been quite specific about what our strategy is, and we have shown a desire to intensify our efforts behind those elements of our strategy that have shown the most promise. And building the capacity of local forces, particularly in northern Syria, has shown some promise, and this is a further intensification of those efforts.
And you said that these special forces can be doing advising, training, assisting. And then to another question, you said, well, I can't get into the specifics for operational security reasons. I can't get into. So which is it? Are they going to be involved in some raids in northern Syria potentially?
Well, Jim, the role that they will have is to offer training, to offer advice, and to offer some assistance to local opposition fighters on the ground in Syria who are taking the fight to ISIL in their own country. That is the responsibility that they have. That's the mission that the Commander-in-Chief has given them. On an operational basis, in terms of where they're going to be operating, with whom exactly they're going to be partnering, where the first mission will take place, I think for pretty obvious reasons, those are not details that we can get into in public.
And I want to get back to what Kristen was asking about, which is, and I want to see if we could have just a moment of clarity here.
Okay.
Because
that's the reason I'm here.
Yeah, I understand that. I think Kristen was asking a basic question.
Okay.
It's a question that the American people have, which is this president, this White House, the officials here at this White House repeatedly, over and over again, made it clear to the American people that there would be no combat role for U.S. troops fighting ISIS. That appears to be changing. Not only is there this announcement that you're talking about today, which you say they won't be involved in a combat role, but you're not ruling out the possibility that they may be involved in some sort of combat operation. But on the Iraq side, you have Pentagon officials this week saying, we're in combat. So it would be great if we could just have a moment of clarity here and you can acknowledge that, yes, this mission is changing. It is not what it was said it was going to be at the onset of this. I mean, I just think
to say
fair,
that
it's clear.
That, Jim, would only confuse the situation. The fact of the matter is the mission that the Commander-in-Chief has given our military personnel in Iraq and now in Syria is a train, advise, and assist mission. And we have gone to great lengths to make clear that that is in no way diminishes the amount of risk that our men and women in uniform will be facing. We've also been quite clear that there actually have been situations where combat boots have been on the ground inside of Syria. We've been quite candid about that. The president ordered a mission involving U.S. military personnel putting boots on the ground inside of Syria to try to rescue American hostages that had been taken by ISIL. That occurred more than a year ago. The president earlier this year ordered special operations personnel to conduct a raid against a high-value ISIL target inside of Syria. That raid was successful in both taking that ISIL leader off the battlefield and recovering a significant troves of intelligence. The Department of Defense has had contingency plans in place for search and rescue operations. Fortunately, the United States has not been in a situation in which one of our pilots has been shot down or crashed in the skies over Syria, despite the fact that they've conducted thousands of military flights over Syria. This is a testament to the professionalism of our armed forces, but there were contingency plans in place for search and rescue operations that would have put U.S. military boots on the ground in a fight against ISIL to potentially try to rescue American military pilots. So we have been forthright about this fact. This is not the first time that we're discussing this information. In fact, we've discussed this at some length. And the desire here, Jim, is to try to be as specific and as clear as possible exactly what it is that they're doing. Nadia.
You have 3,500 U.S. troops in Iraq. They are advising and training. Mm-hmm. And ISIS is still a potent force, and they're still in charge of Mosul and Ramadi. What do you hope to achieve in empowering, as we keep talking about, the moderate Syrian opposition? I think you're the Kurdish forces, because they're the most trustworthy in that part of Syria. Mm-hmm. What do you hope that they will do with 50 advisors only? That are they able to take Raqqa, for example, which is the capital of ISIS, that the Iraqi-trained army and a partner that you don't have in Syria, as you mentioned now, that you have in Iraq, doesn't exist. How can they do the job better than what you have done in Iraq with thousands more troops and a partner, which is the Iraqi government? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the problems, let me say it this way, the challenges that we faced in terms of building the capacity of forces in Iraq and forces in Syria have been different because the situations in Iraq and in Syria have been different. In Iraq, we've acknowledged that one of the most significant challenges facing the Iraqi security forces was ensuring that they were under the command and control of a genuinely inclusive, unified central government. And that's not something that had been in place until relatively recently when Prime Minister Abadi took power and has sought to govern that country in a much more inclusive way. That more effective and inclusive political leadership has made the security forces that are under their command and control more effective. The situation in Syria obviously is a lot different. The opposition forces there are not affiliated with the central government, so they're more loosely organized. But yet, despite that loose organization, the United States and our coalition partners have been able to effectively help them as they've taken the fight on the ground to ISIL in their own country. And we cite the situation in Kobani as a good example of this, that there's now, there's this long border between Turkey and Syria that is now almost totally secure except for one, 90-kilometer corridor. And the advance that forces in northern Syria have made toward Raqqa have left them within 45 kilometers of the capital of the Islamic State. That's an indication that these local forces have shown some promise and made some progress. And a lot of that progress is due to their efforts to coordinate with our counter-ISIL coalition. And whether that is resupplying them or conducting airstrikes in support of their ongoing ground operations, their performance on the battlefield has improved, and we would anticipate that their performance would improve even more when paired with the force multipliers that are this several dozen United States special operators.
Is this a mission trying to take Raqqa back?
This is a mission to support the efforts of moderate opposition fighters on the ground as they take the fight to ISIL in their own country. Okay.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.